Thanks for stopping by for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Lou Anne Crane, and our host is psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson.
And I'm Ryan Dobson. And Lou Anne, hopefully our married listeners enjoyed a romantic Valentine's Day with their spouse a few weeks ago. But now that we're past the love holiday, it's back to reality and the fact that daily life is, well, it's a little daily.
Well, that's well said, Ryan. And, you know, in dealing with the practicalities of managing a family, truly there can often be communication challenges in marriage and admittedly, sometimes even that feeling that our spouse is not really hearing us.
Laura has no idea what you're talking about.
Doesn't occur in your household.
Well, it is an issue that all couples deal with from time to time. And our listeners are in for a treat today because we're going to hear some practical things that we can do to improve communication and understanding in our marriages.
And to help us do that, we have two relationship experts, Drs. Les and Leslie Parrott. They are the founders of the Center for Relationship Development at Seattle Pacific University, where Les is a professor of psychology. Leslie is a marriage and family therapist.
Well, they have a wonderful marriage mentoring ministry that's been successful in training seasoned couples on how to help younger people who need a little bit of guidance. And we're going to have more information about that at drjamesdobson.org.
And let me just add that the Parrotts are New York Times bestselling authors, and they have a new book releasing soon. We will fill you in on that a little bit later. Mm-hmm. But for now, we're going to listen in on a discussion they had with Dr. Dobson about their book, Love Talk, Speak Each Other's Language Like You Never Have Before.
Oh. Such accomplished guests, as we're going to hear my dad reference in a moment, and we're delighted to feature this conversation. So let's get started now with our host, Dr. James Dobson, on this Family Talk broadcast.
Les and Leslie, you are very, very busy people. Just going over this bio, we've spent half the program already.
I'm kind of tired just listening to you.
We had to tag team it in order to get it covered, and you're raising two boys, how do you have time to love talk?
Well, you know, you raise a good issue because, and we don't think we're the only couple that struggles with how do you capture time? And when you have time together, how do you really connect? And I think we wrote this book for ourselves more than anyone we work with, you know, I don't know, thousands of couples a year. And yet we're the ones who felt the need for this.
Definitely. All right. What's the common mistake that particularly young couples make in learning to talk to each other, to communicate with each other, heart to heart?
Well, I think one of the most common mistakes is assuming that your spouse comes at the conversation with the same goal that you have out of that conversation, that a great conversation looks the same for you as it does for them.
Yeah, and we know this from research that most men approach a conversation to gather information. You know, we want to be in the know. We don't need all the fluff. You hear guys say, you know, give me the bottom line. You know, what
just
do I need to know?
Just get to the point.
And, yeah. Not that I've ever said that, right?
Never heard that.
Yeah, just not since this morning.
I wonder if you all have ever had the experience that we've had where we have been in a restaurant someplace enjoying one another, but looking over at another table and you have a couple sitting there that don't have one thing to say to each other.
Right.
They're both bored. They're both looking out the window, and it's obvious that they're not into one another's worlds at all. Now, there are times when every couple goes through that where you feel like you've said it all. But if that's a consistent pattern, you've got problems. And my heart goes out to these people when I see this. I want to go over and say, is there really nothing in the depths of your relationship that you feel you haven't yet said? What happens when you lose it, Les? Where does it go?
That sense of connection?
Yeah, because in the dating relationship, you can't shut up, you know, and
isn't
you talk
the
on the phone for 4 hours at a time.
Yeah.
And then you get married and you got nothing to say.
And yet it is the case that somewhere down the line, they begin to struggle with that issue. And they struggle with it because, like Leslie said, you're expecting something from it that you're not getting. And I think that that's what we found. We knew the fundamentals. You know, it's so important to review the fundamentals in communication. I think that, in fact, I spoke in Green Bay, Wisconsin a little while ago. And when I left, the folks that I spoke to gave me two items to remember them by. They gave me one of those big cheese heads.
Yeah.
So I put that in my suitcase. I thought my son would enjoy that. And then they gave me a football. And on the football, I'm walking on the plane. I have a suit on, my briefcase, and I'm carrying this football. The guy next to me says, "What's up with the football?" And we start talking a little bit about that. And then he notices Vince Lombardi's signature, an imprint of his signature. And he reminded me of something that Vince used to do at halftime. I'm sure you know this. When he'd come into that locker room, he wants to get back to the fundamentals, and he'd say to those guys, he'd hold up a football. Remember what he'd say? This is a football.
Yeah.
Well, no duh, right? I mean, these guys giving their lives to this game. But it was his way of saying, let's get back to the fundamentals and play this game. And in the same sense, we're kind of saying in the very first chapter of this book, we're holding up, you know, as it were, that football and saying, hey, folks, this is it. Let's get back to the basics and play this game we know how to play in communication. So many couples lose sight of that fact.
I think his most often quoted comment was that fatigue makes cowards of us all. And fatigue also interferes with communication, doesn't
it? Absolutely.
When you're too worn out to talk to each other, you're too tired.
Yep,
and that is so common in this culture, in this society.
You know, I can think of a recent incident we had. So I'm up all night with a little guy with a fever, and Les has a plane to catch the next day. So we're headed to the airport, and it's...
I know where this story is going.
You know,
this is not a good story. But,
but I'm just being honest. You know, this is what happens for every couple, you know. And so we had one of our only snow days for the year in Seattle, and so it slows everything down. We're running late for the school bus for our older kid. So I promised to take Les to the airport. He's got to catch a flight. I'm exhausted. And we hop in the car and realize there's no gas in the tank. And Les says, instead of taking time to do this, let's just get me to my flight on time, and then you can fill that tank up. You've got the day. So we head to the airport, and I get him in there. And right, you know how we have those indicators on our cars that say, you know, miles to empty. Right as I pull out of the terminal, it drops suddenly from 10 miles to zero to empty. You know how they do that at the end. And as I'm pulling out, I'm tired and I'm cranky. And this is one of the pressures for communication in marriage, because I'm so tired. So I start calling him on my cell phone and saying, you know, he can't reach me. He's checking into his flight. But I'm saying, do you realize I'm at 0 miles to empty and I feel so unprotected? You've left town and I have no gas. So I've got the sick child in the back and I pull into the gas station. I make it. And I think, okay, it's a good story. But I get there and then I pull out my purse and realize, oh, he left so fast. I didn't get the money. And see, these are the kinds of things couples are dealing with. No cash, no gas. We haven't had time to process it. And so I call him, and he's thinking, like any man would, my wife needs some motivation. I'm going to help her out in this moment. And so here's what he says to me. He says, Leslie, buck up. You can handle this. And so
that's not what you wanted to hear.
No, it wasn't exactly. I hung up. I took care of it, but all the way home from the airport.
And I was thinking, that's what I would need to hear.
Right.
That is true. And in fact, I'd like to kind of paint a word picture for you all, because speaking to the parents, because you work on a college campus and you've seen young couples just getting married, and it is so typical at that age to jam the bag full to where there is nothing, absolutely nothing left. You have people going to school, trying to study for tests and grades, and they've got to earn a living in their spare time, and a baby comes along, and then they are often... I don't know. I can't explain this, but they often find themselves with a house to either make over or rebuild or doing all that stuff. And they get to the point that they're ready to kill each other.
Right.
And this is at a time when they most need to learn love talk, right?
Right, exactly. Let me tell you the fundamentals where we say, let's go to Communication 101. This is communication. Number one, you've got to learn to clarify content. You know, this is so fundamental. You want to say, well, no, duh. It's like holding up a football. And then the second thing we say you've got to do if you master the communication fundamentals is reflect feelings. You know, to listen not just to the verbiage, but to dip down underneath that into that river of emotions that flows between the two of us when we talk and lift out that little feeling and say, hey, is this how you feel?
Yeah. Leslie, let's go back to your illustration, because it is, again, so typical. I'm glad you shared it. But what did you need from him?
Yeah.
I'd like you to tell our listeners what he should have said.
Well, I'm so glad you asked, because it really goes back to this. You know, Les is talking about clarifying content, reflecting feelings. That is so fundamental, that need for him to have reflected my feeling in the moment.
And you just didn't need a solution.
I didn't need him to solve it. What I really wanted was for him just to say, you must be completely overwhelmed right now. You didn't get any sleep. You've got a sick baby, and you feel like you've got all this extra work you didn't count on. You know, anything he could have said, thank you for caring for our family. You're overwhelmed. Whatever the feeling was, oh, if he could have just stayed in that moment with me and acknowledged
it. Let me role play with you, okay?
Oh, I'd love it.
I'd be Les, all right?
This should be good.
Okay. Oh, Leslie, you know what? I just got up a little bit late and I didn't have time to do everything I wanted to do. I am so sorry. I've left you in a mess. I mean, I ask you to forgive me.
You know what? It's okay. Thank you for saying that. And as long as I know that you're aware of what I'm doing, I'm happy to do it.
Is there anything I can do to help from this distance? I don't know what it is, but if there is, is there anybody I can call to help you? Is there any way I can make this easier for you?
You know, I think we're going to be okay, but just be sure and call and check in when you land, and I'll keep you posted on how Jackson's doing.
Yeah. Do you think you're going to be able to get through this time till I get back?
I think we're going to do it. We're going to be okay.
I mean,
because
if necessary, I'll get on a plane and come home.
Oh,
I'm telling you.
Easy for you to say. Okay, I'm calling you the next time this happens.
I'll tell you what's so powerful. I mean, I think, you know, the reason guys don't do that in general is because it's not necessarily what they would need if they had a problem, to be honest. You know, I think truthfully, yeah. Les was giving me what he would have wanted for me. And I don't give him that at all, you know. But yeah. What they don't know is we're not going to demand a lot in return. If you just validate our feeling, it almost evaporates.
And that's really what Love Talk, what we discovered in Love Talk was a way to really build a space into your conversations where you feel completely safe, where you don't have to edit your words. You can speak your mind and know you'll be understood.
And Love Talk is dependent upon understanding how your spouse is different from you. Would that be an accurate
statement?
Yes, in
a sense.
You can't communicate properly if you have no clue as to what the other person is thinking and feeling.
And everybody's unique. It's not just gender differences, but it's how you're hardwired for a conversation and what makes you feel most emotionally safe in the context of a conversation. Because what makes me feel safe is not what makes Leslie feel safe,
right. And
vice versa. When we got a hold of that and understood what we call your personal fear factors or your safety needs, once we understood that between each other, all of a sudden, man, we began to empathize, we began to have more grace, more patience, more understanding, and life got a whole lot easier for us.
All right, now in the back of your book is a little test, an inventory.
Yeah, there's something kind of unusual about this book, and we worked with our publisher, Zondervan, on this because we actually, you're reading along and it'll tell you to do something unusual, and that is to slip the dust jacket off of this hardcover book, and you'll find an inkjetted code back there that's specific to your book. Why? Well, you take that little code and you can go to our website at realrelationships.com, punch that code in, and take what we call the Love Talk Indicator. And the really cool thing is it'll give you about, 12 to 15 pages
right. On
your talk style, how you're hardwired for communication. And that'll be helpful to understand that. But then you get your spouse to go on, do the same thing. And then we will combine those codes and give you a 24?
A couple's report. It can be as long as 30 pages, depending on the couple.
Yeah.
You know, every
report's
unique to this couple.
But it combines your two talk styles
right. And
shows you, in fact, very specifically, it might say, here's six things you should never say to me because of the way I'm hardwired.
Yeah, I personally, and I love this because some of these pages are perforated. You can tear them out and hand them to your spouse. These are six things never to say to me because when you do, you know, communication breaks down for me.
Right. Or here's things that I need to hear more often
right. From
you. So it gets very specific.
All right. What are the four fear
They're
factors?
Easy to remember because there's an acronym and it spells TALK, but we spell it a little bit differently. T-A-L-Q. TALK. Oh. Okay. Each one of those represents a fear factor. T is for time. Some of us are hardwired to feel safe when we're controlling our time. And we feel threatened when we're losing control of that time that we value because we're pretty urgent. We go through life, and I say we because this is my number one fear factor.
Yes.
I'm hardwired to use my time well. This is a commodity I want to protect. And so I'm efficient with my time. I want to be productive with my time. And there's people out there listening to us even with this little short introduction, they're going, boy, that's me. I am the same way. I'm hardwired for time, and I'm urgent about it.
And yes, and urgency is the key there, because if this is your fear factor, if being in control of your time is what makes you feel safe and not being in control makes you feel unsafe, it makes you extremely urgent. And if you have a problem, anything that crops up in your day, you are going to respond to that with a very aggressive approach. You're going to want to take care of that now, get it off your checklist, and get on with your life.
Yeah, or you find yourself in the midst of a conversation that seems to just keep going on and on. Didn't we already cover this ground, you know?
I mean, never do that.
Or probably the most common scenario is we have a problem to solve, and I want to solve it right now.
No matter what that problem is.
Big or little. And she has, since time is not a fear factor for her, she's like, oh, let's just give it
time.
We can just,
patient.
You know, just give
sure.
it more time. And I'm like, give it time. Come on, let's get going on this thing, you know. So that's where some couples have that breakdown in communication, because one of them is hardwired for time as their fear factor.
It could be anything. I remember this summer, Les was trying to prepare our oldest son for kindergarten. He just felt he needed to know a few things before he got into school. So you were working with him for like, I don't know, I mean, 30 minutes, 45
minutes. Yeah, and I was teaching him the difference between coins and nickel and a penny. And I'm sure every school teacher out there is saying, that's way too advanced. He doesn't need to know that at this stage. And, you know, how many pennies are in a nickel? And now I know that. But at the time, I thought, why isn't little John getting this? And so after working with him a little while, I finally said, stay here, John. Let me go talk to Mommy for a minute. And I went into the kitchen. And I said to Leslie, I said, we've got a problem. She said, what? And I said, John doesn't understand money. And he said, well, he's not even in kindergarten. What do you mean he doesn't understand money? He shouldn't understand it yet. And I said, well, I think we need to get a tutor. And she said, what do you mean? We don't need a tutor. He hasn't even started his first day of kindergarten yet. You're way too, you know, urgent about this. And I said, well, let's get a tutor and call the students. And
call the university today and get a college student out here to tutor John. I mean, that's how every problem is for him. Let's solve it now. He's a very aggressive problem solver. And that's what anyone whose primary fear factor is getting in control of their
well,
time.
Well, and even as I was talking about that, I see Leslie begin to well up with tears a little bit.
Yes,
and I thought, what did I say? Where did this come from?
Well, I'll tell you where it came from, because he tapped into my primary fear factor, and that's that A in that talk, which is approval. Anytime I start to fear that I have lost the approval, you know, of someone who I love and respect, and I'm in a conversation, that's when I get afraid and I start shutting down. And all I could hear in his comments were, you have been a terrible mom. You haven't prepared your son for the outside world. We're going to need to get an extra help, you know, in order to get him ready to function in society. And I welled up with tears.
And that thought never crossed my mind. All I was trying to do was solve the problem. Yeah. And here she was. I've threatened her fear factor, her safety need.
What are the other two fear
factors?
Yeah,
so you have TALQ, time, approval. The third is loyalty. Some of us are hardwired for fear of losing a sense of profound loyalty. Now, of course, we all want loyalty in our relationships.
Yeah, this isn't about commitment or covenant
right.
in a marriage. This is more about what you love, what makes you feel safe in your lifestyle, and it has to do with resisting change. You love things to be the way they are.
Predictability.
Yeah.
And you love that groove and that you drive home from work the same way. Some people like spontaneity, and why should any day be the same as any other? Let's make every day do. And so this particular need of loyalty for some can really get under another person's skin if that person doesn't respect it and value it.
I'm fairly high on my need for loyalty. Les is very low. I mean, he'll hang up from a phone call and he'll come in and say, hey, I just talked to Joe and we're going to go to Phoenix tomorrow. And he's thrilled. He loves a sudden change. I'm not like that at all. What about my small group? What about Tammy? I was going to have lunch with her. And, you know, we just can't suddenly change something. I don't even want to change the grocery store where I shop. I love to go to the same place. I know what to expect. And, you know, it's just a high need. That makes me feel emotionally safe, not having a lot of change in my life.
And so in our conversations, we're negotiating change a lot. A lot of conversations in marriage are dealt with
whether it's just changing the schedule or what we were, you know, what I thought we were going to do for our date night. You know, maybe Les said last week, let's try this restaurant that, you know, and that sounds like a great date. And then we get to that night and he says, you know what? I'm not in the mood for that. Here's what I'd like to do. I'm like, well, I've been looking forward to that all week.
You know, that is a fundamental difference between men and women. Men like change. I like spontaneity. I like newness. I like challenge. I like, aggressive new possibilities. And Shirley likes predictability and stability and certainty and
long-term.
Yes, she is. Long-term security and so on. That's why a move is usually so much more difficult for a woman than a man. And if you're going to move as a family, a husband had better understand that this is going to be very challenging for his wife.
I agree with you, but there are men that are also hardwired for this sense of stability.
Well,
too.
And we know him. I mean, we have a friend, George, who's been driving the same car. I mean, he could afford anything he wants, but he's been driving the same truck for 30 years.
I think we can all think of someone like that. We hope you're finding this Family Talk conversation with Drs. Les and Leslie Parrott helpful for your marriage. And if you are, you can always request a CD of our discussion or our guest's book at drjamesdobson.org. We're going to finish our time together now as Les continues on with the Q in their talk acronym. Here he is now on this Family Talk broadcast.
Q is for quality. Some of us are hardwired for fear of losing a quality standard in our life. Now, hopefully we all prize integrity. This has something to do with a little bit deeper than that, doesn't it?
Yeah, this is more about decisions. How do you make decisions in your life? You know, someone who is high in their need for quality puts everything through due process. They don't just want to do the right thing. They want to do it in the right way. You know, they don't want to make any mistakes with their process. They read the instructions. They carefully consider everything about their life.
If they're going to buy a lawnmower, they check consumer reports. They're going to do their research.
You know, ever go to a restaurant with someone who is high in quality? I mean, they don't just sit down and say, I feel like eating this. You know, they study the menu. They consider, they want to hear all the specials. They want to know every option, and they carefully make their decision. And that's what it's like, you know, for someone who has this high need for quality.
Shirley will study the menu endlessly and then want what I ordered.
Yes.
Well, there's that too. I just want him to order something I didn't order that I also wish I could have, so I could taste it.
And now tell me, does the test tell people where they are on those four fear factors?
Yeah.
Does it come back with a score?
Yeah. So if they go online and they punch this code in and take this test, 10 minutes, the Love Talk Indicator, it'll give them a printout of several pages on where they are, very specifically on each of those four. There's over 19,000 different combinations when you look at the high, medium, low combinations.
Yeah, it's not just some cookie cutter, you know, formula. My highest need is for approval. That's when I feel the safest. But I have a high need for loyalty too. And so when Les comes out of his study and says, hey, we're going to Phoenix tomorrow, I react against that. But because my need for his approval is higher than my need for loyalty, it trumps it, and I often go along with experiences and changes I would never choose because I need that more.
If you spent 2 hours getting dinner ready and got a new recipe and really went after it and set the table very nicely and all that you do, and Les came home and ate it and then said, thanks, babe, this was a good meal, and then went off to do some work, would you be hurt?
I often say when he's through with his dinner, so did you like it?
Yeah.
Did you really like it?
What you're really saying is, do you approve of what I did?
Yeah, exactly. He's sometimes afraid to compliment something I'm wearing because he's afraid I might keep it on for the next 5 days, if he really likes it.
She feeds off of that approval. But I'll tell you what, once we got into this research and understood this, and I know that she's hardwired for approval, man, I want to give that to her because I didn't really know that before we did this research. And now that I know she's hardwired for that, I look for ways to show her how much I, in quotes, approve of whatever it is that she's trying to accomplish.
Well, that's what's so powerful about this. It also has made me extremely patient. You know, for someone who has a high need to be in control of his time, I used to find him blunt and even sometimes mean, because he'd want to solve a problem so fast, I'd feel like, hey, you know, what's going on here? Let's connect, you know?
And I'm trying to solve the problem to get it off of our plate so that we can love each
other.
Now
I don't take it so personally.
Cross one off.
I go, okay, this is about his time. It's not about me.
Well, we've got a high need for time management here. Right. The title of the book, again, is Love Talk. speak each other's language like you never have before. Doctors, because they're both doctors, Les and Leslie Parrott. And it's fun talking to you guys. It always is. And you're continuing to write, I know. And it's a real pleasure to have you come here all the way from Seattle to be with us. And I think that a lot of people are going to find help in this book.
And we hope that you have actually found some help in this Family Talk broadcast today as well. There is much more contained for you in the pages of the Parrott's book. Again, the title is Love Talk. And of course, Ryan, we have that available at drjamesdobson.org.
Well, and the Parrotts definitely have kept up with their writing and have since become New York Times bestselling authors. As we mentioned at the top, they do have a new book coming out in April. It's called The Good Fight: How Conflict Can Bring You Closer.
A title that no doubt will be of interest to many of us. You can actually pre-order the Parrott's book right now, though. Find out how to do that at drjamesdobson.org.
Also at our website, you can always find my dad's classic marriage titles, like What Wives Wish Their Husbands Knew About Women and Love for a Lifetime. But if you'd prefer to call us for those, our number is 877-732-6825.
And this reminder before we let you go, Family Talk is completely listener-supported. We would not be carried on your favorite Christian radio station or on XM Radio if it were not for the generous donations of people like you.
So if you'd like to partner with Family Talk in bringing you and many others marriage and parenting resources, you can give by clicking the Donate tab at drjamesdobson.org, on our Facebook page, or our number one last time, 877-732-6825.
Thanks for spending this time with us today, and we do invite you back next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.